information is the best medicine, especially when it comes from Dr. Decker Weiss and Dr. Holly Lucille. Here's their show. It's your health, and it ain't rocket science.
Bad trades. I hate bad trades, or as we say in the medical industry, the risk benefit of a substance. Could you be happy?
What are you talking about?
A hip?
I'm talking
about bad trades. I'm talking about, could you be happy to break a hip? I don't know if you saw this report, Holly, but we are now finding out that a lot of these medications that we've been using for years for depression, drugs like Paxil, Prozac, Zoloft, Luvox, Lexapro, Effexor, and Celexa, looks like they're doubling the rate of osteoporosis.
Oh my gosh.
Doubling the rate. Yeah, it's one thing to say that.
So when you're talking about bad trades, you're talking about, okay, you're going to use a serotonin reuptake inhibitor, right? An SSRI, mm-hmm. one of these drugs that you mentioned, mm-hmm. to basically allow your brain to have more access to serotonin. But the trade, which you are calling a bad trade, is you're going to get osteoporosis.
Well, that's what the studies are showing. What it's saying is that that maybe the fluoride molecules in most SSRIs is supposed to keep these things kind of happy, but it's actually might be doing more problems than what you might imagine. And one of these problems is bone loss. And we know that these medications have been plagued with bad reports through the years. And I've had some patients, look, I got to say, Holly, I've had some patients through the years that Prozac or Zoloft have completely changed their life for the positive. I mean, completely. They say that when they took that drug, their life went on. And I tell them, don't change it, because that's a really hard thing to do in medicine, to go from sad to happy, from dysfunctional to functional, and that kind of thing. But the majority of the people that I see on these medications, I don't know if they really need it, meaning that there's natural options out there to boost serotonin, to boost GABA, to boost these natural neurotransmitters, these natural compensatory calming neurotransmitters, glycine and cortisols and all that, along with exercise and proper diet. And I think that they're going to be a lot better off. But the bone loss, I didn't see this coming. Did you
No.
even think this was coming?
I didn't think it was coming, but here's the thing. I have, you know, for the last, I've been practicing for the last 12 years, and more, you know, and I'm a practitioner that sticks to my principles, like identify and treat the cause and treat the whole person, and prevention is the cure. But more and more, and I am sorry if I've been remiss, you know, in the earlier years, I have been definitely taking a very, very, very strong, hard, good look at the medications that my patients come to me on. Now, of course, I would know the mechanism of action. I would understand what the drug was used for. I understand the pharmacology of the drugs. But you know what I've been researching more is the side effects, because a lot of times they have been presenting in my practice with symptoms that they think they are having organically, and guess what they're having? They're having a side effect of a medication that they're on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if I don't understand and sort of turn over that stone or uncover that particular piece of it, we're all going to be pushing sand against the tide, and I don't think we're doing anybody any good. And so I didn't see it come, and no, to answer your question, but I'm not surprised.
Wow, you're ahead of me. This one threw me for a complete curve. And usually I can look at a mechanism of a drug, and you know, we understand that until these drugs really go off a patent, and what that means, listeners, is that when the big money is out of them, there's a certain amount of years that a drug company can get premium dollars for medication. And then after that time allotment, usually 7 to 10 years, somewhere in there, after that time allotment goes, then any other company can make it. They can make a generic version of that. We've kind of had to begrudgingly accept that we don't find out a lot of the negative information of these drugs go off a patent. Hey, it's not fair, it's not right. We have the position. But usually how I can look at it and go, hey, statin medications, I think it's going to cause problems. I don't have evidence yet, but I don't like eating cholesterol and seeing cranks. It just doesn't make sense to me as a naturopath. Liver. Bone loss has got to be a whole different mechanism of what I expected, and I didn't realize that a lot of these have a fluoride molecule in it that might be doing this. Do you then bring to, hey, let's get you off these antidepressants in your practice, or do you sort of side back? I wean around. I can do it sometimes. I can't do it. Is that something you've been trying to do?
You know, I think it's a really smart question, and I think that's really important. Your point is that as naturopathic doctors, it's not like, hey, we them, you know, it's like, it's not like our way versus their way. It's about focusing on the patient. And quite honestly, as you said, there are many medications, pharmaceutically prescribed medications that work quite well and are appropriate at a certain time. I think for the most part, we're still trying to identify and treat the cause. And a lot of times with serotonin reuptake inhibitors, we can only reuptake the amount of serotonin that's actually available. And so, yes, as you said, there are lifestyle, there are dietary, there are nutritionally supplemented ways that you can actually increase the levels in the body of serotonin. I mean, if you think about it, you know, these neurotransmitters, these are made from certain building blocks, mostly amino acids. And a lot of times there's a deficiency for many, many, many different reasons. So I think what's really important is that we continue to, yes, use these medications as appropriate. Like you said, they save people's lives. And I've got many other categories of medications that do that. But we always have to continue to look. And is there an exit strategy? Mm-hmm. Like, we don't want people to be dependent when they don't have to be.
Yeah. I do a couple of things. One is that I will, there's a company called Neuroscience. They have a good panel that you can look at these neurotransmitters.
I love Neuroscience. Yeah. I love them.
Yeah, they do a nice job. And I would look at neurorelief.org or neurorelief.com for patients out there, because you can actually run these levels and look and see what they're actually doing. And then there's a line of products they have to help fix that. But also, I think that it will, if you're somebody where what this changes is, if you're somebody who has a history of childhood or adolescent or 20s to 40s SSRIs, now here I have a question, because there's going to be no barometer, Holly, as a clinician. When would this lower the age that you would do a bone density? Would you put a bone density on a 35-year-old if they were on Prozac for 25 years now?
Well, I think it's the beauty of treating. Yeah, I think it's the beauty of treating individually, because it's like, sure, we have our standards and they're important guidelines. But if you got a patient that you know has a history that presents risk, and you also have a patient that you know now, see, we know better, we hopefully do better, has been on this medication, I think that we would want to understand and check any of those ancillary sort of collateral damage that was done by the well-intended, I'm sure, modality and prescription of this medication. And so, sure, you could go ahead and, you know, once again, it's going to be a fight, because who's going to pay for, whose insurance is going to pay at a 35-year-old, you know, age, 35-year-old woman, maybe we want to do a bone density, and they're like, yeah, no, you know, government says that or what have you, you should be doing that at this point in time. Well, guess what? I think we should.
Yeah, we would have a role because of the doctor like that, and so that would be the because I'll tell you a few.
Hey, Dr. Decker, I'm losing you. Okay. All right, so let me know when this, we got the. All right. So, I mean, once again, I mean, Dr. Decker, you bring up such an important part. We're talking about bad trades, right? So, and I think it's really important. And this is also the beauty, in my opinion, of getting outside the reductionistic model, meaning that, yes, you can be reduced to your, you know, clinical presentation, to your diagnosis, and then offered a very reductionistic approach as far as, here, take this. However, if we started to look at you more comprehensively, right, I think that we can actually look at risk-benefit ratios in a different way. If you're at risk at all, or if we know that this is definitely a side effect of these SSRIs or antidepressant medications, we can do things differently, take care of you better, right? So no more bad trades. And you certainly don't want to be happy to break a hip, right? That's a bad trade. So here on RadioMD.com, it's your health and it ain't rocket science. We can think this through forever and ever and ever.